यमुना तेरा बनचारे जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Muttai Gaura Hariba 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 Gaura Hariba
Paramahamsa Padavrata Charja Asto Tata Satoshi Shimadi Sabhan Grace Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Kija Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Padavrata Charja Asto Tata Satoshi Shimadi Sabhan Grace Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jayam Haridas Thakur Kija Prayam Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Shri Gaur Bhakti Kija Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gopi Gopinath, Shama Kunda, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Dwarka Dham Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Devi, Jamuni Devi, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Shrimati Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to the lotus feet of Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our study of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23. Today's text 12 through 16. sa evam dravane naste dharma kama vivarchita upekshitash cha svajanais chintam apa dharatyayam saivam dravane naste dharma kama vivarchita upekshitash cha svajanais chintam apa dharatyayam Saivam dravane naste Dharma kama vibharjita Upekshitash chaswajanai Shintam apataratyayam Sarvam dravane naste Dharma kama vibharjita Upekshitascha svajanai Chintam apaturatyaya Sa He Evam Thus Dravine When is property Naste What's lost? Dharma, religiosity, kama, and sense enjoyment. Vivarjita, devoid of. Upekshita, neglected. Cha, and. Svajanai, by his family members. Chinta, anxiety. Apa, he obtained. Dharatya, insurmountable. Translation. Finally, when his property was completely lost, he, who never engaged in religiosity or sense enjoyment, became ignored by his family members. Thus, he began to feel unbearable anxiety. Responsibly. Finally, when his property was completely lost, he, who never engaged in religiosity, or sense enjoyment, became ignored by his family members. Thus he began to feel unbearable anxiety. And I'll read text 13 to 15. Tasayam jayato dirkham nasta rayas tapashina kiyato baspa kantasya nirvedasu maham abhut. Text 13. Having lost all his wealth, he felt great pain and lamentation. His throat choked up with tears, and he meditated for a long time on his fortune. Then a powerful feeling of renunciation came over him. purport. The Brahmin had previously been trained in pious life, but his past goodness was covered by his... What happened? Oh. But his past goodness was covered by his offensive behavior. Finally, his previous purity was reawakened within him. Text 14. Sachehidam aho kashtam ritatma me utapita nardharmaya nakamaya yasyartayasya idrusha. The Brahmin spoke as follows. Oh, what great misfortune. I have simply tormented myself uselessly, struggling so hard for money that was not even intended for religiosity or material enjoyment. Text 15. Parinarta kadaryanam na shutaya kadachana iha chatmo patapai mirtasa navakaya cha. Translation. Generally, the wealth of misers never allows them any happiness. In this life, it causes their self-torment. And when they die, it sends them to hell. Purport. A miser is afraid to spend his money, even for obligatory religious and social duties. Offending God and people in general, he goes to hell. Om Gyanat Vrandasya, Gnanjana Shalakaya, Tatshuad Anampiram Dena, Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Maha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Parakamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha, Shri Rupam Sagratatam Sahagana Ranganatam Tam Sujivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sayatam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam Lalita Shri Vashakam Vitam Cha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta the Moses Way. Tapta Kanta Nagodanke, Radhe Vrindavana Shuri, Rishabhana Sukadevi, Pranami Hari Kriya. Vancha Kalpa Tiruvastha, Kripa Sindhu Vadevacha, Patitanan Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitana, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadishi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. What's that? Another verse? Oh, okay. Text 16. Sorry. A little brain dead. So, yasho yashashvinam shudham shlagya ye gurinam guna lobha swalpa pitan hanti svitra rupam ivepshitam. Whatever pure fame is possessed by the famous, and whatever praiseworthy qualities are found in the virtuous, are destroyed by even a small amount of greed, just as one's attractive physical beauty is ruined by a trace of white leprosy. So in this chapter, this devotee, the Avanti Brahmin, has fallen upon hard times. And he has come to a point of desperation, feeling that nothing is going right. My whole life is a shambles. I really have nothing to live for. Everything is dark. And because of his past pious actions, he actually was quite wise, but it had become covered over. And by his great fortune, it reawakened. And he could appreciate that the cause of my suffering are my material desires, my desires to enjoy in this world. And if I can set aside these desires, then I will be free of this suffering. There's a similar narrative in Pingala, the prostitute. I don't know if we've come to that yet, or we will. Have we? It's in the 11th canto. But she also, similar kind of situation. she was engaged in her occupation. And she became so frustrated. She realized that this desire to do what I'm doing, it is the cause of my suffering. So let me give up this desire. In the various places in Srila Prabhupada's writing, I can think in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the seventh chapter of Adi Lila, Srila Prabhupada writes that it is crucial for devotees to keep in mind the miseries of life, birth, death, old age, and disease, so that we may remain steady on the path back to Godhead. Of course, if there's some thinking that this world is nice, then for us, we'll think it's nice and we'll stay here. So to remember deliberately, one way or the other. I know at one point I read hospice stories. I went online and I began reading different stories of people passing on, because I felt that I'm not really conscious of death, you know, and I have not been with anyone who passed on. And I want to have some sense. I also read some stories, many stories of women who were abused, just so I could feel, just get a better feel for the real suffering. And it is real suffering. You know, here in America, unlike certain other countries, the miseries of life are kept covered over. The ambulance comes and people are scooped up and taken away, and you don't really see anything. Other countries, there may be dead bodies on the road that one sees. So I could appreciate that I needed to be a little bit more conscious. So. And it is good, of course, to remind ourselves. It's very hard to be in an enjoying spirit if someone has a gun at your head, you know? Isn't it? Oh, let's go to Disney World. Oh, look at the ride over there. Look at the ride over there. Or whatever it may be. But you know, if someone has a gun, all of that is gone. All the different kinds of material enjoyments that people become enthusiastic about. You know, if we really, truly remembered that within an hour I could be a chance with tubes sticking out of my body about to leave this world. And I could. It may not be so probable, but it's entirely possible. So Srila Prabhupada encourages, Lord Chaitanya encourages, for the safety of the devotees, for our safety, for the safety of our devotion to Krishna, that we deliberately try and remember the miseries of this world and not get too carried away. Because sometimes there's sunny days and the squirrels are running and the sun is shining, and nice prasad, and have some friends. It's kind of nice. But never to forget that this is, you know, this is this material world, as Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said, Lord Krishna certifies, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. This world is temporary and it's miserable. And it is. And it's not morbid. Some people might say that, well, you Hare Krishnas, you Jehovah Witnesses, you religious people, you're morbid thinking about the miseries of this world. But it is. Isn't it? It is a miserable place. There may be some patches of happiness, but at the end, we're kicked out. Old age comes. So many miseries. The body begins to deteriorate. Your back is hurting. Your digestion doesn't work. Your eyes are going bad. You may have cataracts. And all of these things may be difficult to think about when we're 20 and 30 and 40, but they're there, and they're coming. They're coming down the road. And finally, we're taken away by death. All of that 30 years of struggling to pay the mortgage and keep the jobs and everything, gone. And we're somewhere else. So at some point, I stumbled across this university in Scotland where they have yearly seminars, so to speak, on natural theology. And they choose a particular professor who is very good orator to give a series of lectures connected to natural theology. Natural theology, as many of you may know, is the theological basis for faith in God, that because we see so many complicated creations in this world, there must be intelligence, there must be a creator, everything must have a cause, so that's a theological reason, basis for faith in God. So there was a whole, well, all throughout history, but there was a special movement in the 1800s, especially amongst the British, for natural theology. So there were some series that were founded, and they still happen every year. So I was reading one, it was really amazing. And so this fellow, his dissertation, or the whole series, was about how it is that so many people in this world are depressed and unhappy and dissatisfied. It's similar to the observations that Srila Prabhupada writes about in the beginnings of his Back to Godhead magazines. In the beginning of his early writings, Back to Godhead, he spoke a lot about the different political sufferings and social sufferings and different revolutionary movements in the world, and how it is that very obviously there's so much unrest and unhappiness in the world. So this gentleman was speaking about that, and he pinpointed, and not so surprisingly, but it was nice. He said the cause, the root of all the different personal, social, worldwide problems is a lack of Krishna consciousness, which is not so surprising because it's a group of religious people, but it was nice to hear someone say it so boldly. And so he went on to make this point more and more, how specifically people in the world have lost touch with the fact that they're eternal. They've lost touch with their identity as parts and parcels of God. And they're living, many, as orphans, spiritual orphans, that I'm all alone in this world. It's just me and this big universe. Somehow, I'll make it through life. You have to take the good with the bad. When you smell the roses, you get pricked by the thorns. And they tell themselves different things, or they drink themselves silly, or take intoxicants, or do anything to somehow get through the day. I don't know how many of us have worked in places. I have. And I heard. Even I thought a little bit. But you know, the men working. Oh, this is really hard. Can't wait till Friday. And then Monday would come, and they'd be sick from too much sense gratification. Oh, this is so hard. Can't wait till Friday. It's just miserable. Just simply getting through the day. So this professor, he raised the point that what is the use of traveling down the road, a rough road that leads nowhere? And indeed, what is the use of driving down a road or walking down a rough road that leads nowhere? And as spirit souls, as parts of Krishna, we know deep, deep in our soul that we don't want to die. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to be in ignorance. No one does. And if that's all we see in front of us, that I'm just going to live and suffer and die, why live? And many people don't. They choose suicide. Because what is the use of traveling down a road, living a life full of thorns and things. It just all goes away. So this Avanti Brahman, he's like that. And because of his piety, it's described, his wisdom has awakened. In the purport, it's described that his offensive nature had become weakened. So this is a very important point, that when we commit offenses, Vaishnava aparad, Seva aparad, Nama aparad, especially Vaishnava aparad, we're punished by our Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. Our taste for Krishna will be taken away. Sometimes devotees, we see someone that goes off, and we wonder, how could she or he be doing that? Just, wow. And sometimes we talk to such a person, Prabhu, which is, how are you doing all this? Just, what? That was just a phase in my life. Now I'm doing something different. Right? How many of us have heard something like that? Well, that was something I did in my early years. Now I'm doing something different. They become covered over, just like amnesia. And this is the time out that Srimati Radharani gives us when we are offensive to Krishna. Just like any mother, when there's a child who is offensive, rude, sit, go over there, 5 minutes, time out, right? So when we, the conditioned souls, are offensive to Krishna, we commit sin, we commit violence, and especially when we are offensive to Vaishnavas, then Srimati Radharani in her shadow manifestation of Durga begins to punish us. We lose our taste. I don't want to go to the temple. I don't want to chant. These are symptoms of offense. When our offenses and our sins are removed, then our natural identity as lovers of Krishna will automatically manifest. And our taste for Krishna, our feelings of respect, at least, and deepening into appreciation and affection, ultimately the revival of our full-blown love will automatically awaken. But when we commit offenses or sins, then it becomes lost. Krishna? Well, who's Krishna? That's what can happen. Very serious thing. Or we may find our mind plagued by material desire. All of a sudden, I want to go to college. I wanted to be this. I wanted to do that. I'm going to go do that. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, some desire, material desire. Very often that's due to offenses. That's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the narrative of, who was it? Ramachandra Puri, when he was criticizing Lord Chaitanya. In the purport is described that when we commit offenses, what can happen is that whatever our karma was, whatever our karmic destiny was, whatever we were going to do, whatever we were going to end up doing before we took shelter of Krishna will manifest again. The material desires will manifest again in our heart. All of a sudden, whoa, I don't want to do that. And if we're really offensive, it will become a nagging desire, nagging, week after week. I really want to do that. But I can't do that. This is due to offenses. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes this. He says, those who are envious and mischievous, I cast them down into lower species of life. So it doesn't mean just the gross body. He casts us down into lower, subtle bodies. Instead of a mind, intelligence, which is, oh, Radha Shyam Sundar, you're so beautiful. What can I do for you today? Instead of that thinking, God knows what kind of thinking. Just the opposite. It's due to offenses. So that's a really important thing to watch out for, is offenses, especially Vaishnava Aparad. About material desires, if we hold on to our material desires, and if we become forgetful of what it is we're doing, like suppose we take initiation, or we don't take initiation, we're just practicing. If we forget, or to the extent that we forget, that this is leading me by following these principles, by living my life in this way, I'm going to get something valuable, then what can happen is we can become resentful that who is this guru to tell me not to do this? Yeah. If we are not careful to remain awake, I am a tiny part of Krishna, I'm a fallen in the material world, I'm on my way back to the spiritual world. If we forget, then we can become resentful of devotees. We can become resentful even of the guru. Who are you to tell me I can't do that? Yes. So that's called the bad elephant offense. When we begin to be critical of the spiritual master or advanced devotees, who is he to talk about renouncing material life and how sense gratification is not very good? Like sometimes in some temples, I remember, a sannyasi, an advanced devotee would come to the temple and people would complain, oh, they're pinching. They're speaking against sense. They shouldn't come here. So that's very offensive. I mean, sometimes people could present things in a different way, but that's very offensive. Because it's like thumbing our nose at wisdom. Here is wisdom being presented to us. And because of stuff within me, because of stuff on my side, it feels pinching. I don't want to hear about I shouldn't have sense gratification. Who does? Who in their right mind wants to, so to speak? But that's my problem. It's not the sannyasi's problem. It's not this devotee's problem. It's not that they should not be allowed to speak at the temple. I should fix my heart. That's what I should do. That's what I should do. So you have to be so careful about these things. So this Avanti Brahman, he has come to this point of realizing how his attachment to sense gratification is the cause of his difficulties. He realizing it would be in my best interest to give it up. And he's so miserable. His throat is choking up. And the material life is so miserable. I remember my Aunt Carol. So she and her husband, they were together like 40 years, one of those long-term marriages. And they really loved each other, so to speak, you know. Very friendly with each other. And then the poor fellow passed on early. And she was so mortified. Like any woman would, or man. In a good marriage, the other one passes on. So sad. She was depressed. Like 3 years, she could hardly pull herself out of it. So many things can be said. But the point is that this material life and our attachment to this life are a cause of suffering. And so back to that thing about a rough road leading nowhere. I mean, we are so fortunate, because I have felt in my life. I can remember weeks long ago that, well, I'll be dead soon. So, okay. I'll make it through the day. Yes, I'll be dead soon. So all this misery will be over. So, you know, that's not so good. But we have been given something so much better. Natad Vashayate Shoryo Nashanko Napabata Yakyatva Navartinte Tadam Padamamama. that transcendental abode of mine is not illumined by the sun and the moon or electricity, and one who goes there does not come back. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti chakvataha. What's the rest of it? More janma naeti mameti so Arjuna. That one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and disappearance and my activities, he comes to me and he never returns. So Srila Prabhupada is always encouraging us that you do this. You try and understand Krishna in truth. Really, try and understand Krishna. Try and love Krishna. Try and understand how it is that he's running in fear of Mother Yashoda, but he's Bhagavan. How he's driving the chariot of Arjuna, but he's Krishna. How it is that he's in our heart, and he's in Goloka Vrindavan, and he's also standing there, the same chariot driver of Arjuna. He's standing there, right now. Try and understand this. And Krishna says, if you can understand this, you will come to me, and you'll never have to come back and suffer again. So I'll stop here. Prabhu?
Thank you for the class. You're talking about the Scottish professor?
Yes.
And he said that...
What is a rough road? What is the use of walking?
You were mentioning that he said that the reason why we're all suffering is because of lack of Krishna consciousness. So was this professor a devotee, or what was it?
Well, they're all devotees. This is a collection of devotees.
Oh, okay.
You might say a little bit below the Kanishtha Adhikari platform. Mm-hmm. And they're devoted to God in their own way. And yes. Yeah.
Okay. My
Christian. From okay. a Christian background. Yeah.
Okay. So, my question is, the Bhagavatam, it can be very cutting, like it pierces the materialist. So is there any, like we hear, and okay, the Shastra is there, but is there any room for a little gentleness, or it's all cutting and piercing, you know? Is there, what I'm trying to ask is there like a person who's trying to practice, is there room for a little, you know, pat on the back? Or
Srila Prabhupada said that we should have affection for our family. I mean, it's not that we should be hard-hearted, mean people or something. But, I mean, listen. We listened to how His Divine Grace presented Krishna consciousness. He was sometimes pretty blunt, but not always, you know, depending upon the audience. You know, he would present the same point in a gentle fashion that, you know, we should really give up our sex life and our sense gratification and, you know, like that. Someone else have, I mean, we don't necessarily have to be harsh and whatever, but, so, you know, the guru and the sannyasi, their job, their thankless task is to take the knife. And even if people squeak, you know, it's like a doctor, you know? I mean, God bless. If a doctor didn't have the mind to squeeze the boil and do all the different things and the patient is squawking, you know, what would happen? It has to be done. The pinching has to be there. And it's sometimes a thankless task because, you know, who wants to hear it? But we have to hear it. I can think of a time when I was in the Boston Temple and serving in the kitchen. So I put a class on every day. And I noticed that there were certain classes my mind didn't want to hear. And I knew that was the class I needed to hear. I deliberately that one, you know, because I know, oh, I don't want to hear it. So that must be the one I need to hear, you know. So we have to be a little self-aware, you know, not let our mind take us on a sleigh ride. Prabhu?
You mentioned that verse from Bhagavad Gita, Prabhu, that said that, you know, one who's demoniac by nature, the Lord continually sent into the lower, you know, species of life and demoniac type of lifestyle. But my question is, I don't see that how it really applies to devotees. Using the example of Anti Brahman, and he was very offensive to so many people, his family, his relatives. But because of his piety, performing his activities, he was awakened towards the end of his life, and he actually became a pure devotee.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly, again, my question is, for one who's taken to this path, maybe they may fall down or commit offenses and go away for some time being, but my understanding is that either in this life or in the next life, that Krishna consciousness will be awakened. It's never lost. So I don't, again, the question is, does that verse in Bhagavad Gita in the chapter Demonic Nature really apply to a devotee, or is that just for somebody that's completely an atheist who just lives a life as a demon? I mean,
yeah, good point, and thank you for asking for clarification. I didn't elucidate that as well as I might have, but no, I mean, what does Bhagavad Gita say? One who practices yoga for a short while goes to the heavenly planets, and they get born in Suchinam or Shrimatam, a wealthy or Brahmanical family. Someone who engages in yoga for a long time are born into a Vaishnava family. So no, unless you're really incredibly, you have to really work at being offensive. But no. But what I meant to say is that it's a matter of degree. That's what I should have said. That, you know, even we as devotees, if we commit offense, then our mind will, our subtle body can become in the direction of demoniac. And Krishna will let us go down, let our mind go down into a lower species of light, sort of, for a little while, just to, you know, chastise us that don't do that. You can't be yelling at sannyasis. You just can't. Don't. Can't do that, you know, or whatever, you know. On the altar, and you're not attentive with the deity, and, you know, you have to be careful. Madhuji?
I just wanted to say that if someone decides to go to college, it's not always a material desire, you know what I mean? It's like it can be, they have an idea. We've seen so many devotees who have gone to college, they've been able to use their education and service of Krishna, so.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. That it may not be, you know. It may be Krishna inspiring us to do some service for him. It's just something to watch out for, though. Why really do I want to join the army all of a sudden? Is it because it's Krishna's service, or maybe it's a material desire? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Just responding on the point of all of us may from time to time hurt someone, especially because we're interacting with devotees. So often we may not intend offense, but sometimes there may be there. So the cure, I believe it's given, and I don't know the verse, but if you're, well, say if you're envious of someone, you're to serve them. So what I was thinking of, because I heard Varuna's voice, I know that whenever there's a festival, he and his good wife come and they cook the most amazing prasadam to serve all the devotees. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's not that there aren't health issues and all like that, but and when they go traveling in their business, prasadam, and making people laugh and making them attracted. So that kind of thing is so endearing to Krishna's heart. So I just wanted to say that.
Very nice. Yeah, in the Adi Purana, Lord Krishna related to Arjuna. He said, one who says he is my devotee is not, but one who says he's the devotee of my devotee, that is my devotee. So, powerful thing that is. Also Lord Shiva, you know, explaining to Parvati that of all types of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the highest, but higher than that is worship of Lord Vishnu's devotee. Aye, O glory to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, O glory to the Prabhupada.